Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath on today, a Tuesday. Throughout the semester on Tuesdays, we will be welcoming faculty, staff, and other guest speakers. So we invite you to kind of pay attention to see who's going to be speaking each week. Today it is me, and if you don't know me, I'm Siri Erickson, chaplain of the college here at Gustavus. We will begin our worship with an opening prayer, and then we will sing a hymn together. So let us pray this prayer from 14th century Saint Julian of Norwich. Let us pray. In you, Creator God, we have our preservation and our bliss. In you, Christ, we have our restoring and our saving. You are our mother, brother, and savior. In you, our breath, the Holy Spirit, is marvelous and plenteous grace. You are our clothing. In love, you wrap us and embrace us. You are our maker, our lover, and our keeper. Teach us to believe that by your grace, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Please stand as we sing together our opening hymn, number 556, in this cranberry-colored hymnal, Morning Has Broken. That's number 556. For the earth creature to be alone. I will make a fitting companion for it. So from the soil, God formed all the various wild beasts and all the birds of the air and brought them to the earth creature to be named. Whatever the earth creature called each one, that became its name. The earth creature gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals. But none of them proved to be a fitting companion. So God made the earth creature fall into a deep sleep, and while it slept, God divided the earth creature in two, then closed up the flesh from its side. God then fashioned the two halves into male and female and presented them to one another. When the male realized what had happened, he exclaimed, "This time, this is the one, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now she will be woman and I will be man, because we are of one flesh." This is why people leave their parents and become bonded to one another. The two become one flesh. Now the woman and man were both naked, though they were not ashamed. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Last week, during new student orientation, I had the opportunity to join greeter Joy Dunna and her group of first-year Gusties for an engaging discussion of this year's Reading in Common book, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Joy posed many excellent questions to the group, but the one question that I thought generated the most thoughtful conversation was this: do you think the creature was human? The first student who responded said, yes, the creature was human because he longed for companionship. He wanted to be known and understood and to experience a sense of belonging with other humans. Another student chimed in, I agree that the creature was human because he had the capacity for caring, as evidenced by his desire to help the poor family and befriend the blind father. When the family ultimately rejected him, as Victor had done earlier, the creature became enraged and violent. This, too, was a very human response. And yet another student in the group pointed to the creature's eventual desire for a female companion as evidence of his humanity. These comments struck me as being both surprising and insightful. So this morning, I invite you, as we look ahead to the upcoming Nobel Conference, to explore with me the question of what it means to be human by integrating insights both from Christian theology and from evolutionary biology. Now, I do not think that my initial response to Joy's question would have been the same as the students in the group. However, the more I thought about their answers to the question, the more I realized that what they were saying was deeply resonant with a biblical understanding of what it means to be human. As humans, we are fundamentally constituted by our relationships. In the creation story of the first humans in Genesis 2, the narrative tells about God's creation of the first earth creature. The first earth creature was lonely and needed companionship in order to become fully alive. God initially tried to give the earth creature a whole bunch of different kinds of animals, but all were found to be inadequate in meeting the first earth creature's need for relationship. Then God, having failed many times in these earlier attempts to create a companion for the earth creature, finally took a new approach and divided the first earth creature in two. According to the story, these first humans, whom the tradition calls Adam and Eve, knew that their humanity from the very beginning was deeply informed by their interrelatedness. Their connection was not just of the heart and spirit. Their bodies were deeply interconnected from the very beginning. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Christian theologies, and thus Christian notions of relationality, move quickly from the first humans to reflection on another very special body, a body that related to other bodies by healing, feeding, and blessing them. Like every other human body, Jesus grew within a woman's body and was nurtured with the milk from her breasts. Jesus cried, ate, walked, touched, spoke, and listened with his own body in order to be in relationship with other bodies. And no body was beyond Jesus' love. He cared about ill bodies, beaten bodies, bleeding bodies, hungry bodies, and disfigured bodies. And in the end, his own body suffered on the cross, died, and was made new. We learn from these biblical stories and the creeds of the early church that Jesus came from a very specific body, Mary's body, and that he had a fully human body within which God became incarnate. If we take evolutionary biology seriously, which I believe that we must, that means that Jesus' own fully human body was genetically related to the earliest humans, and that our bodies today are related to Jesus' own body. Were it not for random genetic mutations giving rise to variations within populations, were it not for environments that were hospitable to human life, were it not for natural selection, Jesus' own human body would never have existed at all. Jesus' embodied life on earth was possible. The incarnation itself was possible because of the long process of biological evolution that has given rise to the human species over millions of years. Human existence depends on this deeply fundamental relationality and connection, even at the genetic level within our own bodies. During this last June at the Gustavus Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics, over 50 high school and college students pondered with chaplains, scientists, and theologians about what it might look like to reform Christian theology by integrating insights from evolutionary and reproductive biology. Based on the continued advance of scientific knowledge, we learn to think anew about our responses to the big theological questions in front of us. What does it mean to be human and made in the image of God? What does it mean to confess that Jesus is fully human and also Emmanuel, God with us? And what does it mean to call ourselves the body of Christ on earth? Science does not answer these questions for the church, but it can help us continue to be faithful reformers through an ongoing process of intellectually rigorous reflection and honest dialogue with scripture, tradition, and our own embodied experiences. One of the central theological claims about Christian community is that we are all deeply related to one another as members of the body of Christ. And thus, all of our body cells are amazing, imperfect, mutating, and regenerating body cells, are beloved and essential to God's creative call to human and planetary flourishing in the world today. The evolution of life and biological birth are important parts of our collective theological narrative. Every person that is alive grew within a woman and flourished enough to survive in this world because of her energy and power. Human life becomes possible only through relationships. Our embodied humanity is a sacred and messy place to do theological reflection, but it is an excellent common starting point, for like Jesus, we were all born. We are all human. And at one point or another, we will all reflect on what it means to be human in relationship to God and to one another. It is my hope that as a community, we value the deeply relational nature of our common humanity, and that we will together continue to learn, to wrestle with difficult theological and ethical questions, and to reflect on what it means to be human. For the next two Tuesdays, members of the Gustavus Nobel Conference Planning Committee will prepare us for some of the ethical questions that arise at the edge of life and at the frontiers of reproductive technology. And in addition, on Thursdays throughout the semester during Daily Sabbath, Gustavus students who worked as mentors at the Gustavus Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics this past summer will continue to help us make meaning out of our embodied human experience by sharing a variety of personal and theological reflections on their own bodies. I hope you will continue to join us for these ruminations that illuminate the pursuit of both faith and learning at Gustavus. Amen. I invite you to stand at this time and continue our service with another hymn, hymn number 650. 650, In Christ There Is No East or West. May Christ be ever light for our lives, and may the Spirit of love be our guide and our path, this day and for all our days.